bootlegging left. He's got room. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Runs over the man and goes out of bounds at the Oakland 2-yard line.
Outstanding call. Outstanding call. Leon Gray out leading the way on the bootleg. It was just Leon Gray and Grogan out to the left side. And Gray drew a bead on Jack Tatum and drove him back 7 yards. What a run. What a call. What a play.
And George goes back to throw on third down and 8. Looks upfield. He's in trouble. Starts to scramble. He's way back at the 30. Giving ground. Fires upfield. Picked off. Intercepted by Andre Tippett at the 50. He's heading left to the 45-yard line. Trying to cut inside the 45. He's brought down at the 45 by Dickerson. The Patriots take over on the pass interception by Andre Tippett.
It went right into the hands of Verdant. The ball came loose. And Tippett was just there and says, how do you do? Here's the ball before it hit the ground right into his belly.
First down, Steeler 23. Here's a blitz, the handoff to Martin. He comes to the left. He's on the feet of the 20. Breaks it by 15. He took the 10. He's at the 5. And he has got it in. Touchdown! Touchdown, Curtis Martin. Wrap it up with the ball.
You got that right. Curtis Martin has just mentioned the fact that he's having a banner day. Once again, brings this crowd to his feet as he twists and worms his way straight ahead, forcing missed tackles and then getting into the end zone like only he knows how.
Kick is on the way, and it is good! It's good! It's good! And the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! What a finish! What a finish to Cameroon!
I'll tell you.
Oh, wow!
Almost felt it was going to be happening in regulation or overtime. Adam Vinatieri with a field goal was going to do it. Oh!
They've been there through it all. From the Taha to Vinatieri. From Grogan to Gronk. From Babe to Brady. For generations of Patriots fans, two men have been there every fall Sunday. Our eyes and ears in the best seats in the house for the greatest game on earth. And they've taken us along for the ride.
Good evening, everyone. From Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, it is Super Bowl 46. This is Gil Santos along with Gino Cappelletti as the Patriots at 15-3, champions of the American Football Conference, take on the New York Giants at 12-7.
To think that I was able to sit at the 50-yard line, describe football games, and get paid for it was an extraordinary way to make a living and live a life. It was never a job. It was always an honor and a privilege. Neither one of us felt that we were the show. We're just there describing the show. And so neither one of us had the ego to want to usurp all of the airtime. I describe the play. He tells me why it worked or didn't work. Tells the listeners why it worked or didn't work. Then I call the play again. And then Gino does the same thing again. And when we started together, I mentioned to Gino that, you know, you get about 130 plays in a game. So don't feel you have to justify your existence by saying something after every play. Because if you do, then you're going to say something 130 times, more or less. And if half of them are meaningless, then the impact of the other half is lessened. So when you see it or feel it, say it.
The simpatico that we had with each other was instant. And that was making it a lot easier. And, of course, Gil and I both had the same philosophy as far as what a broadcast should be. And we tried to create pictures with words. And we both did that.
You know, we're both first-generation Americans of old country parents. And so our values were very similar in terms of just general life and family and friends. And I think that helped bond us together, and I think that came across on the air. I mean, people can tell if you're being a phony.
And they certainly don't anoint you a broadcasting legend. Gil Santos signed off from the home radio booth at Gillette Stadium for the final time in January 2013, after 36 seasons and well over 700 games as the voice of autumn in New England. Long a regional icon with his powerfully distinctive delivery, rich description, and sharp wit, beloved by generations, Gil's last words from that final postgame farewell were a thank you. Not to his fans per se, but to Patriots fans, those who shared Gil's passion for the team and made him their trusted companion From the feudal first days in Foxborough through the dawn of a modern-day dynasty. This morning, it's our turn to say thanks. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our tribute to Gil Santos. I'm Bob Soucy. Since learning of Gil's death on Thursday, exactly 80 years after his birth to Portuguese immigrants, and 57 years after his marriage to wife Roberta, I've sadly, and yet gratefully, recalled of his counsel and kind words meant to me. First, as a fan simply aspiring to sit where he sat, in an NFL booth. And eventually, as the incredibly lucky guy who's had the privilege the past five seasons of trying to follow his incomparable example, calling play-by-play for the Patriots. All the while, fully understanding that Gil will always be the voice of the Pats. Among the first events I went to in this role was his induction into the Patriots Hall of Fame alongside Teddy Bruschi. And ever since, whenever I've heard his voice during a commercial break, it's been like a broadcasting god speaking to me. He might have been telling us about his recovery from health problems in the past, or the phone service he used. He was reminding me, in a sense, to keep my eyes on the ball and remember the game comes first. Gil Santos is Patriots team president Jonathan Kraft, so aptly told Art Toucher and Rich a couple of days ago, was born to call football, and nobody did it better. Interestingly, Gil was introduced to Patriots fans of the mid to late 60s as the 27-year-old partner of Bob Starr on WBZ Radio. Starr handled the play-by-play, Gil added the color. Starr, who'd gained greater acclaim in baseball, moved on, and Gil moved over. Eventually, he was joined by Gino Capoletti, his bon ami, and together formed the perfect radio marriage, presiding over many of the most memorable moments in franchise history. You'll hear many of their unforgettable calls, as you just did, during the better part of the next hour, as well as personal reflections from Gil and Gino. Later, I'll talk to Scott Zolak, who, before welcoming me into the booth, worked alongside Gil after Gino's retirement following the 2011 season. That was the year Gil became seriously ill. More than once, he was given his last rites while in a medically induced coma. Yet Gil survived, and as an Army veteran, fought his way through months of rehab to return for one last season and the chance to sign off on his terms with humility and gratitude, which is how we remember the great Gil Santos today. We begin where he started with the Patriots, the 60s.
Just move on up.
Lockett on third down. Back to pass. Action is there. He's firing it long and deep for Randy Bataha. He's open. He's got it at the 20, at the 10. And he stopped at the 10-yard line with 11 seconds to go in the ball game. Jim Puckett rifles one to Randy Bataha to the Minnesota 10 with 11 seconds to go in the ball game.
There were some pretty good teams there, you know, and they had Puckett in the first pick, 71. Right away, he was an upgrade at quarterback, you know, had the big arm, and they had Randy Bataha, who was like a 17th or 18th round pick of the Rams, and they cut him, and the Patriots picked him up on waivers, and he became Plunkett's go-to guy. So there was a great combination there right away. And Jim was the kind of quarterback who could lead a team to the postseason, but I don't want to forget the 1966 team, the first year I did their games. Bay Pearly was the quarterback. Gino was the kicker and star receiver. And they had Jim Nance, who was just a terrific running back. They came to within one game of going to the AFL championship, and had they won it, they would have gone to the first Super Bowl and had to either win or tie at the Jets in the final game of the regular season. And on the first play from scrimmage for the Jets, Emerson Boozer broke one for like 75 yards, touchdown. Jets immediately on top at Shea Stadium, 7-0, and the Patriots just got crushed. You know, never were able to recover from that in that game, and that was the end of the season for them. And I remember being so angry. I thought, gee, you know, I would have had a chance to play in the AFL championship game and had a chance to go to the first Super Bowl, which at the time was not the big deal it is now. It was such a not big deal that two television networks televised the first game, the first Super Bowl, both NBC and CBS. But that was a very good team. That 66 team was a very good team. Then through the rest of the 60s, things did not go well. Early 70s, no. And then Chuck Fairbanks came in, what, 73?
'73.
Okay. And the team immediately became relevant and good. Chuck was a great coach, had put together a terrific group of players. He still had Plunkett, but now he had Grogan coming along. So he traded Plunkett to San Francisco for a couple of first-round picks and a second-round pick, and Grogan took over as quarterback, and he drafted some great players. You know, one year he drafted Mike Haynes, Sam Cunningham, Darryl Stingley in the first round. Three great players. Next year he drafted Tim Fox, not first round, another great player. They immediately became good, and I remember Mike Haynes as being such a great defensive back, and he returned the first punt for a touchdown in Patriots history in that season, in his rookie season.
Bateman, that is 29, awaiting the snap. Haynes is deep for the Patriots at his own 15. Bateman handles it, gets the ball away. Not a good punt. Fair catch is signaled for by Bedoin. It is picked up by Haynes on a bounce at the 10, heading for the right at the 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45.
He was so good and such a great athlete and a great guy, still is, a wonderful guy, that he would have been the team's best receiver had he played receiver, Gino. Mm-hmm. He was that great of an athlete with great hands.
Yeah, and of course, like most good coaches in those days, they had a good eye for who could play and who couldn't. And Chuck Fairbanks, with the success he had at Oklahoma, he brought in all these terrific players. Yeah, we all had a lot of respect for Chuck Fairbanks.
One of the first players that he told me, said to me about this guy, the guy was a rookie, they with late draft pick, and we're watching practice at UMass, Amherst, and Chuck said, Gil, he kind of cocked one eye, you know, Gil, number 50 is going to be a hell of a player, with Sam Hunt.
Greasy calling signals, third and two. Greasy's back to pass. He looks, flips it over the middle, and
he was like a sixth or seventh round pick from, I don't know, some small college in Texas. And Sam Hunt was a thumper. I mean, he was a terrific linebacker. And, yeah, I forgot one of the other players that he drafted, one of the greatest Patriots of all time, John Hanna.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hanna was just a great, 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 great offensive lineman. And really, his pregame ritual was, I mean, he would sit on the bus, and no one dared speak to him because he had this scowl on his face, and normally an affable, pleasant guy. But the day of a game, whoo-wee. You know, don't even say hi, good morning, John. He was mentally geared up to get out there and start stomping over people, and he did that very well.
Yeah.
All of those guys were on that 76 team that lost on the phantom roughing the passer call against Ray Hamilton.
Third down and 18, 19 for Oakland at the Patriot 28. Stabler is back to pass. Here comes the rush again. He gets it away, and the ball is incomplete at the five-yard line. A penalty marker is down. I don't know if the Patriots are going to be called for roughing the passer or what, as they swarmed in on Stabler, but a flag is down. And Ray Hamilton is throwing his arms in the air, roughing the passer. First down, Oakland, with 52 seconds left.
Well, I thought it was a bad call. And at that time, things were a little different as they are today. You know, any kind of hit in the head or something like that, they're going to call it right away. But they weren't calling that play in those days. And it certainly was a call that I think could have been overlooked. And then, you know, the game proceeded to go in the Oakland's direction right after that play. I remember Sam Cunningham running down his sidelines and stepped out of bounds at a key spot that I think was probably going to get the Patriots another score. But it happened at midfield, and then he proceeded on. But he just took a little angle that got him out of bounds, and then he came back on the field.
The score at the time was 21-10.
Yeah.
And it happened on the far side of the field from where we were.
Right.
And he stepped out of bounds. And had he not stepped out of bounds, and the Patriots had scored when they were on their way to getting at least three, then they would have been in a position to either be up 28-10 or at the very least 24-10. But as it turned out, it was 21-10 in the fourth quarter, and the Raiders came back and scored the two touchdowns to win it, with the winning touchdown coming after the phantom roughing the passer call. But Geno's right. They would have, today that would be called right away. But in those days, it was not. It was just, and it was not an egregious hit. Bang, bang, and that was it, and it was extremely disappointing.
It is third and the yard to go for Oakland at the Patriot 4. The give comes to Banaszak, and he drives over the middle and is stopped. They're going to have a measurement. A flag is down. Hold it.
A
penalty marker went down.
Patriots, somebody has lost their cool.
Personal foul against the Patriots. First and goal to go.
That's not fair, Gil. This is too critical a situation to allow something like that to happen. You just cannot call a penalty like that in a situation like this. You just can't. It has to be something that is very, very bad or something that is very, very obvious. Naturally, their tempers are flaring a little bit. This is too tough a spot to make a call like that.
Second down, goal to go for the Oakland Raiders. 14 seconds left. Stabler rolling to his left. It's going to go down and in. A flag is down. A penalty flag is down. Stabler went in with 10 seconds to go. A penalty flag is down. It is offside Patriots. The Raiders have scored and they've gone ahead with 10 seconds to go. 24-21.
That team, I remember Geno and I were doing Boston College at the same time. We had a game, a Boston College game, I think it was at wherever it was, we were on the road for the night game on a Saturday night. Had to play the Pittsburgh Steelers the next afternoon in Pittsburgh. And so we flew back to Boston with the BC charter, slept for an hour, and got on a plane 7 o'clock in the morning to fly down to Pittsburgh to do the Patriots-Steelers game, 1 o'clock kickoff. Steelers had won the Super Bowl the year before. Patriots beat them. Grogan threw a late touchdown pass to Darrell Stingley to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Play action fake by Grogan on first down. He's back to pass. He lets it go long and deep. Darrell Stingley is there. He's got it. He's going to go down and in. A touchdown.
Wow.
Darrell Stingley hauls in a 59-yard pass from Steve Grogan. And the Patriots have taken the lead.
That was early in the season. And Geno and I just looked at each other and said, wait a minute, we got something going here. And that team, I think, could have gone to, should have gone to, and could when would have won the Super Bowl. They were that good. That was really a very good team.
I had talked privately with Chuck at one time towards the end when it came out that he was going to go to Colorado. He had told me, he said, my wife just, you know, can't get it on the East Coast. And this opportunity under wraps, obviously, with Colorado was something that he found to be very attractive.
The day that happened, we were going to fly to Miami to play the Dolphins, last game of the regular season. And they had already, Patriots already clinched the playoff spot. So we go to Miami. It was a night game. Might have been a Monday night game. I'm not sure. But I remember the PA announcer introducing the Patriots starting lineup. And now the Patriots co-head coaches, Hank Buller ran out, and then Ron Earhart ran out as the co-head coaches because Billy Sullivan didn't want to name one or the other, so he named them the co-head coaches and said Chuck can't coach anymore. Chuck never got a chance to go any further than that.
You know, remember one of the most iconic moments in franchise history. But first, these words on 98.5 The Sports Hub. When Gil Santos took over the play-by-play duties for the Patriots in 1971, John Mazur was the head coach, and a rookie named Jim Plunkett was the quarterback. Those Patriots won 6 games. By the time Gil called his final game in New England, the Patriots had become a dynasty, with Bill Belichick as head coach, and Tom Brady, or Tom Terrific, as Gil would say, winning 3 titles and reigning over an NFL landscape contoured to produce parity.
Free agency, unrestricted free agency, and salary cap, and it doesn't matter. They keep turning out great teams. And people have said 1,000 times, as long as Brady and Belichick are together, the Patriots are going to be a contender.
Most owners now get a very brief entree and interview when they're hiring a new coach. You know, they come in for a couple of days, and the general manager will interview them. And the owners will try to get as much information they can, but it's only a couple of days. Bob Kraft had the benefit of working with Belichick for one whole year when Bill Parcells brought him in as defensive back coach and defensive coordinator before they left to go to New York. And I think that Bob saw in Belichick a lot of things that maybe other people didn't see.
I hurt myself today.
Bledsoe deep drop, steps up, now rolls to the right. Now he's going to have to run at the 20, 25, 30. Oh, and knocked out of bounds right at the step. I don't think he made it. He got whacked over on the far side as he tried to run the 10 yards for the first down. I'm not sure he's going to get up on this one. He really got hit. Drew Bledsoe is not in the ball game. First and 10 from their own 26 out of a shotgun. Brady, first down. Looks, fires, it is caught over the middle.
We had mentioned it a couple of times in preseason when they put Brady in, and we kind of said, hey, Gil.
This kid might be pretty good.
Yeah, this kid, you know, looks good. And he's done some nice things out there in the action that took place in the preseason games. And I think it was based on his quickness of getting the ball out. So was something that they displayed right away, because in that third game, they went up against the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts were a 13-point favorite in that game.
Yeah.
And Patriots won 42-13.
We don't know what we're going to see from Tom Brady. We have a rough idea of what he does and what he can do and his strengths and weaknesses through the preseason. And I thought he did a pretty good job in trying to get the team into the end zone at the end of the last 2 minutes of last week's game. But from beginning to end, we don't know what to expect from this young man. I know the players and the coaches are very high on him. And it'll be interesting to watch the whole thing unfold and see what he does. Fires up the field, caught by Pollard, tackled at the 15-yard line, and that's it. And the Patriots walk off the field victorious, running all over the Indianapolis Colts here this afternoon. Tom Brady was 13 of 24 passing for 119 yards, and defensively certainly did their job holding the high-powered Indianapolis Colts to only 13 points.
You mentioned Brady had been the fourth-string quarterback. Well, you realize, of course, how rare it is for an NFL team to keep four quarterbacks. He was behind Bledsoe, Damon Hewitt, and Michael Bishop was the third-string quarterback. And Tom was number four. But they kept him because they knew, or Bill Belichick kept him because he knew that from what Brady had shown in the exhibition season, the preseason, that if he put him on waivers, somebody was going to claim him. So he bit the bullet and kept four quarterbacks, which is unheard of in the National Football League. Today they have two. But he kept this kid as the number four guy because he saw something in him as a raw rookie that he thought he could mold as time went on, and obviously he was right.
Good evening, everyone. From the winter wonderland that is Foxborough Stadium, this is Gil Santos along with Gino Cappelletti tonight. The AFC Eastern Division champion Patriots take on the Western Division champion Oakland Raiders in the AFC semifinals. And it is a winter wonderland and a wonderful sight. If you love football to be played in the cold weather and the elements, this is your night.
Rule 8, Section 1 of the National Football League rule book states the following. If, after an intentional forward movement of his hand, the passer loses possession of the ball as he is attempting to tuck it back toward his body, it is a forward pass. Those 32 words, an arcane clause in a ponderous publication, became the stay of execution that saved the Patriots season.
First and 10 Patriots at the Raider 42. Time remaining, 1:50 left to play. Oakland leads 13-10. Coleman to the far side left, three receivers to the near side right. Brady out of a shotgun. Snow continues to come down. The direct snap to Brady. Standing in there. Looks to the left, loses the football. It's on the ground, and let's see if it's a fumble or a pass attempt. I believe it's going to be called a fumble. It is. A fumble, and the Oakland Raiders recover.
When we looked at the replay, I remember saying, a case can be made that Brady's arm was going forward when the ball came loose, and they may rule that as an incompleted pass.
So Walt Coleman, our referee, will review the play, got the call from upstairs, and what they tell him is, they don't say it's a fumble. They say you might want to look at this one again.
After reviewing the play, the quarterback's arm was going forward. It is an incomplete.
All right! Patriots retain the ball.
I think I said something like, all right. In my opinion, it was the correct interpretation of the rule because his arm was going forward when he got hit, and the ball came out. It was not a fumble. Oakland said it was a fumble. The Patriots, obviously, and I and Gino, we all thought, yeah, that's an incompleted pass.
Well, his arm, as we thought, was going forward.
Oh, it was. It was.
And a huge break for the Patriots.
And I felt, quite frankly, a sense of retribution. What goes around comes around. In the 76 game in Oakland, the playoffs, the phantom roughing the passer call on Ray Hamilton, that was a disastrous call at that point in time for the Patriots. When it came around to the tuck rule call, it was, I think, the most important penalty call in Patriots history.
Second down and 10, Patriots at the Oakland Raider 42-yard line. The Raiders lead 13-10. Brady awaiting the snap. It's there. Brady stands in the pocket, fires to the near side, caught by David Patton. He's across the 25. Down for a first down to the Oakland 22-yard line. Clock running down to 52 seconds remaining. Adam Vinatieri will attempt a 45-yard field goal to try to tie it. The ball is in the middle of the field. Snap, ball down, kick up on the way, and it is good. It is good. 45 yards. Adam Vinatieri kicks it through the snow, and we're tied at 13-13 with 27 seconds left to play.
And it was a line drive kick. And I talked to Adam about this after, and he said, yeah, he said, I had to try to hit it a little higher in the belly. But what he's doing then is giving the chance for a block kick because it's not going to be rising as quick as normal kicks do. So anyway, he drove it right through the wind and the snow, and it was just a magnificent kick.
If you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, did you capture it? Just let it slip.
And we're going to overtime. And this pretty fledged Patriots, a team that Bill Belichick worked hard in the offseason with Scott Fioli to build a team of character, showed us that character here in this fourth quarter tonight, Gino. No matter what happens, slots to both sides for Brady on second down. Direct snap to Brady. It's a screen to the right, complete to Redmond. At the 35, 40, on his feet, at the 45, up to the midfield stripe, and driven down at the Oakland Raiders 45-yard line. J.R. Redmond. Brady takes the direct snap. Over the middle, it goes complete to Redmond. First down, across the 40-yard line, number 38. East Boston's Jermaine Wiggins has been a big, big player in this football game for the Pats. First down to the Oakland 38-yard line. Fourth and three. Brady drops straight back to throw. Pump fakes, fires. Caught. First down at the Oakland Raiders 22-yard line. The catch was made on the ground, on the snow, by David Patton. Edwards, the fullback, to give this to Antoine Smith to the right. Turns the corner. He's got a first down inside the
field. Beautiful.
Antoine Smith, first and goal to go. Patriots at the Oakland 9-yard line. And now they've driven down the field and put Adam Vinatieri and the Patriots in position to win from the 13-yard line, a 23-yard field goal attempt for Adam Vinatieri. Lonnie Paxton to snap, Ken Walter to hold. The crowd will tell you whether he makes it or not. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick is up. Patriots! Patriots win! Patriots win in overtime! 16-13! And it's a Bob seed on the snowy field of Foxborough. Oh, baby! We're going to the AFC Championship game. How about that?
That, to me, was one of the greatest games I've ever seen, I've ever had a chance to broadcast. But you know what? This is very interesting as far as the irony of all this. That snow game was not really going to take place. The Oakland Raiders were going to be the home team against the Patriots if they had won their last game of the year against the Jets. And the Jets went out to Oakland and beat them.
After the Snow Bowl game in Foxborough, which I'll remember for the rest of my life, I was doing a radio show with, I was being interviewed by someone from the West Coast, and they were humming and complaining, well, it was a fumble. I said, well, you know what? The rules said it wasn't a fumble, so you're going to have to live with it. And some guy said, well, that's, you know, totally unfair. And I said, well, 1976, there was a roughing the passer call against Ray Hamilton out in Oakland, and that was totally unfair, so what goes around comes around. And somebody said, well, is this the greatest game you ever broadcast? And I said, absolutely, everything. The snow globe conditions, the way the game ended, the way the Patriots tied it, the way they won it. Just a fantastic game to broadcast. And the guy said, you think you can ever top it? And this is exactly what I said. I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, the only way I can top that win is if we win the Super Bowl on the last play of the game.
Ken Walter will hold. Lonnie Paxton will snap from the far hash mark. Angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri boots a 48-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The best team in the National Football League. Adam Vinatieri, 48 yards.
When he kicked the one through the snow, it was extraordinary. And when he lined up to kick the 48-yard field goal in the last play of the Super Bowl, I had absolutely no doubt in my mind that he was going to make that kick. I just had so much confidence in Adam Vinatieri. And it was not like, oh, my God, what if he misses? I was just thinking, he's going to kick the field goal, and we're going to win the Bloomin' Super Bowl.
We said, you know, this is like playing a road game, and you don't go for overtime. You don't try to do things like that. And
try to win.
Just try to get to midfield. You're going to try to win the game now. And I think we both, I don't know if we said it on the air, but I could certainly remember us talking about it. We had heard about Madden saying, yeah, that they would just ground the ball now,
right,
and wait for overtime.
That was... It was not a surprise. Bill and Charlie Weiss, both aggressive thinkers on a football field, and I didn't think for a moment that they were just going to run the ball and play for overtime. You got a chance to win. I mean, you had, what, a minute and 17 seconds or a minute and 47 seconds, something like that, when they took the ball over. And I was prepared to see them try to come down the field.
So it's tied at 17-17 with a minute 30 to play. There has never been an overtime Super Bowl game. And now the Patriots have no timeouts left to try to get down the field to see if they can win it on a field goal. Well, well, well. First and 10 at their own 17. Brady takes the direct snap. Stands up in the pocket. Starts to run with it. Throws over the middle. It is caught there out to the 21-yard line. With a pass reception was J.R. Redmond. It's a gain of 4 yards. Over the middle it goes. Complete to J.R. Redmond to the 30-yard line. First down, Patriots. Dumps it off to the left. Complete to J.R. Redmond. 30, 35, to the 40. And a first down. Fires down the field. Caught. Troy Brown at the 40. He's to the left of the 37-yard line. It goes out of bounds. Stopping the clock at the Ram 36 with 21 seconds to go.
The biggest play of the drive to me was the Troy Brown catch and run after the catch. Because he gobbled up a lot of yardage. And then, with the presence of mind and the great football instincts that he had, ran it out of bounds and set up the pass to Wiggins, which set up the field goal to win the game. Duke.
With 7 seconds left, Adam Vinatieri goes in, 45-yard field goal. And I got to tell you, I never saw a ball dissect the goalposts like that one did.
Perfect.
Perfect. Right,
right down
the
pipe.
Ball is on the far hash mark. The angle will be to the left for Adam Vinatieri. He has... hit, let's see, a 37-yard field goal in this game. This one will be 47 yards. With 7 seconds remaining, Ken Walter will hold. Lonnie Paxton will snap from the far hash mark. Angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal! Game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The Patriots are Super Bowl champions. The best team in the National Football League. Adam Vinatieri, 48 yards.
It was just a moment of reflection for me. We hugged Gil and I, but it was just a real embrace and not a wild affair.
Right. Yeah, it was wild. Field goal goes through. I turned to Gino. I'm crying, and just completely fell apart. And it was an extraordinary feeling. And I felt so happy for the fans, the players, the coaches, and the previous fans and players and coaches who many times were called the laughingstock of the NFL, the Patriots. And now all of a sudden, they're the world champions. And it was just a great feeling for everybody. That one will never be tough.
No, it won't. That was the perfect call on a Super Bowl stage. Up next, Mr. Patriot and the voice of the Patriots. Tell us about the quintessential Patriot. But first, these words on 98.5 The Sports Hub. After he passed away on Thursday night, reflecting on Gil Santos, the broadcaster, I wrote on social media that he had the pipes meant to call meaningful moments, as we've heard time and again over the course of the last 40 minutes or so. But what separated Gil from the rest was the description. Direct snap to Brady. He shoots it long to paint the picture, and a wonderful sense of humor to go with it. As a broadcaster and a storyteller, he could do it all. As a player, though he might not have been a quarterback, certainly, in Patriots history, Troy Brown is remembered as a guy who could do it all on the field. Gil and Gino remember the quintessential Patriot.
Sometimes it doesn't sound like a compliment, but it really is. He's a throwback.
Yeah.
You know, you heard
he
that.
He played with your teams.
Yeah, but this is what I mean by that. There was football at the time in the 60s and the 50s, and then it started to change, where everybody played on instinct. And coaching was important, but coaching was just having players that have this great instinct to play the game better than the opposition. I have more than once said that Troy Brown, to me, is one of the great players of all time because of his versatility and all the things that he could do on the football field, which he displayed.
All right, Josh Miller set to kick it away. Back at the 45 is Troy Brown. Miller punting right to left. Handles the snap and gets the kick away. This one is returnable, coming right to Troy Brown at the 45. He heads left to the 50. Straight up the middle of the 45. To the 40. To the 35. To the 30. 25. 15. 10. 5. He's in. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Troy Brown.
You could just see it coming all the way up the middle where he always goes.
That championship game at Pittsburgh in 2001. They re-kick, and here goes Troy Brown. He runs it back for a touchdown. This is a big touchdown that they scored. Now he blocks a field goal try.
This will be a 34-yard field goal attempt for Chris Brown. Far hash mark, angle to his left. Miller to hold. The snap, the ball down. The kick is blocked. The kick was blocked. It's going to be picked up by Troy Brown.
Picks it up, starts running, has the good vision and the good instinct to lateral it to Harris, who goes the distance.
He's across the 50. He laterals it off. Heading down the left sideline, Antoine Harris, and he goes all the way for a touchdown. Antoine Harris on the lateral from Troy Brown after the blocked field goal.
Fourth down and five. Direct snap to Brady. Stands in the pocket, fires, intercepted at the 30-yard line, and taken down, and a fumble on the interception, and let's see who has it, down at the Charger, 32, the Patriots have it.
I can't remember my specific feelings at the time, other than, thank God, you know, we got the ball back.
Well, you know, I remember it, and it was an interception, and Troy immediately reacted to that. Now he's a defensive player. I was just an offensive player 2 seconds ago. Now I'm a defensive player. And he goes and he makes that tackle, yep, and he punches the ball right out.
Yep.
So whether it was an accident or whether it was his know-how and all that, you know, no one will ever know. But his hand got the job done and spit out the ball again, and the Patriots recovered it, so saved the potential loss.
We got bingo! We win again, baby!
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night.
Adam Vinatieri has it teed up. The crowd is in a frenzy. 72,000 folks on hand for Super Bowl 38.
which is about to begin. Adam into the football. The kick is away, and the Super Bowl is underway. Play action fake to low. Stands in there. Got time. Looks. Shoots it long and deep. His man is open. He's got it at the 30. At the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Carolina. They take the lead. Play action fake. Brady fires. Touchdown. Touchdown. To Mike Vrabel. Tom Brady, 1.5 yards. To Mike Vrabel. Patriots take the lead. Another shotgun formation. Malone takes the snap. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown. And Carolina will attempt the point after touchdown to try to tie the game. We have 1:08 left to play in the football game in Super Bowl number 38. Kickoff is away. Whoa. Will it make it out of bounds at the 10-yard line? It does. It goes out of bounds. Patriots will get the ball at the 40-yard line.
Yeah, they get the ball at the 40, and that turned out to be a big play in that game.
Second down and 10. Direct snap to Tom Brady. Fires to the near side. It is caught there across midfield. First down, Patriots. Knocked down at about the 47-yard line is Troy Brown after making another key reception. Direct snap to Brady. Rolls out to his left. Looking, fires up the field. It is caught across the 45-yard line to the 44 of Carolina. A leaping grab by Troy Brown. Drops back to throw. Looks, fires, caught. First down, Carolina 23-yard line. Caught by Deion Branch. First down, Patriots, Carolina 23-yard line. Angle to the left, 41-yard field goal attempt coming for Adam Vinatieri. Snap, ball down, kick up, kick is on the way. Kick is good! Kick is good! Adam Vinatieri from 41 yards away. Right, Adam into the football, he kicks it end over end. Coming down to Smart at the 3, to the 5, to the 10, right to the 15, to the 20. He is hit, he is down, he is over! What a Super Bowl champion again!
Direct snap to McNabb. Back to throw. Looks. Fires left. Intercepted. Rodney Harrison at the 20. He falls down, and that is it. The Patriots are going to be Super Bowl champions again. Rodney Harrison. And the Patriots have done it again. Back to back. 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. I thought it was a dynasty. And matter of fact, I remember that I said at the end of that game that they had won 2 in a row. 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty. I remember saying that, and I felt it was.
As Gino told us earlier, he and Gil were simpatico. Theirs was a friendship that transcended their radio partnership and transmitted over the airwaves into our homes and cars. Up next, we'll hear from the man who became the third person to join Gil and Gino on Patriots broadcasts, and my present-day partner, Scott Zolak. But first, let's step aside for these words on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This was our time.
Good evening, everyone. From Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, it is Super Bowl 46. This is Gil Santos along with Gino Cappelletti as the Patriots at 15-3, champions of the American Football Conference, take on the New York Giants at 12-7, champions of the National Football Conference.
I never thought I'd have so much fun and get paid for it. It's just been an incredible ride and an enjoyable time doing something that I love to do, which is describe ball games. Yeah. I mean, that's all I ever wanted to do from the time I was a little kid. And got lucky enough, knock on wood, to get it done.
Uh-oh, Manawanui again, the fullback. Tailback is Ridley. Does hand off to Ridley to the left side, trying to break a tackle. He does. He goes into the end zone, standing up.
Where is the ball? Who has it, and what is he doing with it? So you set the play. That's where the ball is. And the ball is snapped. Who has it? Brady's dropping back to pass. Brady hands it off. So-and-so hands it off. And what has he done with it? He completes the pass. He doesn't complete the pass. He has a first down. He doesn't have a first down. So you give him the nuts and bolts right away. Where is it? Who has it? What is he doing with it? And after that, you embellish. But get the nuts and bolts down. And that's the way I grew up in the business.
Down and distance, time on the clock, and the score. Gil mastered that. And Gil also was one who I understood having a style of how he likes to get into a play. The formations, the lineup, and everything that goes with it. So, you know, by working with him as many years as I have, you get to know those things. So I got to make sure I allow him that time to set up the play before he gets into the rhythm of the play. And no one does it better. And I've worked with, you know, other announcers from time to time. But Gil is the creme of la creme.
This was all time.
All right, here to bring you the play-by-play, the voice of the Patriots, Gil Sandel.
All right, Dino Cappelletti, thank you very much. Great job as usual.
This was all time.
That's our season, Duke. That's it from here.
And toward the end of their time together on the air, Gil and Gino the Duke welcomed in Zoe. He was first a sideline reporter, and then in 2012, Gil's partner, as he's been mine since 2013. And let's welcome in Scott Zolak as well. Zoe, I know, based on your reaction to social media and the conversations we've had since, that you share my sentiments in sending condolences to Roberta, Kathleen, and Mark, Gil's wife and children, their grandchildren, the rest of their family, and to all the fans who welcomed Gil into their families for so many generations.
Yeah, and well said, Bob. An outstanding job here today with the tribute to Gil. And, you know, I spoke pretty in depth, you know, on our radio show this past week as to what he meant. And, of course, I only knew Gil as voice of the Patriots. When you come here in 1991 and they draft you, he's the guy with Gino that are calling your games. And never did I realize that it was also the Celtics and, you know, Boston College, Penn State. I never knew what the Boston Marathon was prior to coming here. And then that became a big thing. And Gil also called that. It's endless. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, the condolences to the family, obviously. No doubt about that. But to show you what type of guy he was the family guy that he was, the people we had around him. I've been going back and forth on email with his grandson, Jacob. And I remember Jacob being a little boy, you know, when I was doing the games with Gil. And here he is, a teenager, all grown up, asking me some of the moments that I had with his grandfather. And it just shows you just the type of people that he raised, the type of people we had around him. He was a class act all the way, as is Gino. I mean, it's funny, you know, to have those two guys welcome me in, you know, what, 8 years ago. When you're doing it for 30 years, and you and I have been doing it now for over 5 years, and you're thinking, boy, what are they going to inject this guy with us for? We got it. We got this rhythm down. And for them to accept me the way they did and to allow me to get the reps on the sideline before I went up in the booth, and like Gino was just talking there, you got to understand the type of flow to set the scene. And I sense a lot of that in you to what Gil did. You know, you got down a distance. You got to set the huddle. Where's Brady? Direct snap to Brady. You know, and then sort of lay it out and then let the game take it from there. But he was a class act to work with, Bob.
Well, he shared that philosophy with me first in 2008 when I was calling Navy games and wrote to him asking for his constructive criticism of a CD that I had of play-by-play. And he had that effect and that imprint on so many in this marketplace and outside of New England. Steve Jones, the voice of Penn State, has told me what an influence Gil was on his life and career when Gil was the voice of the Nittany Lions. And in your case, you touched on it, but how did he welcome you in and help you flourish as the color commentator of the Patriots?
He really looked at me like a nephew or a grandson, sort of, you know. And it's, you know, Gil was a legend when I started working with him. His career was already almost, you know, complete. Shoot, I was only in the booth with him for 1 year, and I just felt devastated that, you know, we lost that AFC Championship game to the Ravens. I wanted to go down and call the Super Bowl with Gil. You know, to go out that way and go out on top calling a Super Bowl, you and I have been lucky enough to call just three in our short time together. And you just remember how excited he was in 2001 when they finally did win one. But it's the advice, and you know me, and you've worked with me a long time. I'm different. I swear like a sailor. And Gil scolded me a couple times during breaks where I thought I was totally safe. He goes, hey, young guy, you never trust an open mic, okay? Anybody could be listening at any time. And the little tidbits like that, or don't say too much. You don't have to You don't have to become the game. Let the game be the game. And the other one he did give me, too, was just, you know, you're going to be doing this for a long time. You're going to have your style. Geno had his. You're not Geno. You have to be you. And you know, just have fun with it, because bottom line, what you and I do is we call football games, and it's fun. And like Gil said, this is not work, but it is a privilege, man. It's a real privilege to do these Patriots games.
And I've said since I was introduced with the privilege of following him and joining you that Gil and Geno have a legacy that is theirs forever, and it stands alone above all others. You and I just try to find our niche in that booth. And you've welcomed me in, and I can't thank you enough.
Oh, it's been great, man. And I talked to you this week, too, about Gil. And, you know, I changed my profile pic to, on Twitter, it's me, Gil and Geno. I said, Bob, don't be offended by that. I said, but it's you know, those two guys got red jackets on for a reason. Mm-hmm. And Patriot Hall of Famers, people remember the calls. It's like you're driving in a car and a song comes on. And that song takes you somewhere, right? It takes you to a certain time. Maybe you heard it as a kid, or you remember it was a big moment in your life. You remember that song. Gil's calls and Geno's calls take you to a time also when you were younger. You know, that Patriots kick, or, you know, the Raiders games from the past. There's just so many moments, and that's what we're going to do here, I think, until, you know, he's ultimately laid to rest this week, is, you know, reflect on those moments and cherish them and just remember how special they were.
Zoe, thank you for reflecting on your time with Gil and Geno.
All right, Bob, from one classy guy and a classy crew to another, and you've done a hell of a job. You and I will never be Gil and Geno, but we're going to try and be Bob and Scott and see how that thing goes. And I think it's gone quite well so far, but Gil was the best.
All right, thanks so much, buddy.
All right, see you, Bob.
Scott Zolak with us. It was Babe Ruth, arguably the greatest athlete of the 20th century, who said that legends never die. And legendary voices are never silenced. As long as football is played in New England and the greatest moments in Patriots history are relived, the unmistakable sound of Gil Santos will reverberate in our hearts and minds. Thank you so much for spending this last hour with us reflecting on 36 remarkable years as the voice of the Patriots, the eternal voice of the Patriots that Gil Santos was. I'm Bob Soucy. For all of us at 98.5 The Sports Hub, so long for now.